Making Conflict Work, Harnessing the Power of Disagreement, written by Peter T. Coleman and Robert Ferguson. And Robert joins us this morning to share some insight, maybe help you in some conflicting situations and how we can make it into an opportunity. Good morning, Robert. Thanks for sharing the time with us. Appreciate it. Tell me a little bit about the your background and interest in sort of conflict resolution or disagreement.
Well, Peter Coleman and I have been working in the field of conflict resolution for 20 years. Peter more as a researcher, I more as a practitioner with companies. And we've done many workshops, and about 10 years ago, we noticed that whatever we taught participants about conflict resolution, the question would eventually arise, but what do you do if you disagree with your boss? It's different. And so we started writing this book as a way of helping people deal with conflict when power is unequal. It's the only book that does this.
Robert, what's the number one mistake people make in those situations?
Well, we have a list of mistakes, but I would say the first mistake is to treat all conflicts as the same and to think just because I disagree with somebody, I need to listen and understand their point of view and see if we can work it out. And we've mapped out 7 different conflict situations where sometimes that's just not the right approach. So treating all conflicts as the same is the first mistake.
So what do you do to assess the situation to know what's the technique you want to use?
Well, we map out the 7 situations and the corresponding strategies, but then we go further because our goal was to write a book that's completely practical. It's not an academic book. It's not a theoretical book. We wanted people to be able to read it on a Tuesday evening and walk in and act differently on a Wednesday morning. So we've included self-assessment checklists, ways of assessing the company or the organization you work with and you're employed by, so that for any disagreement that arises, you can diagnose it, understand the situation, and then apply the corresponding strategy so that you reach your goals.
So can you give us a few of the strategies so that we can kind of have a little grasp on what we need to do the next time we get into a conflict?
Sure. We have 7 strategies, and the one that's applicable to a lot of people is called cultivated support. So let's say you work for a boss or a manager who's a pretty nice person. It's not a dictator. It's not a bully. Still, that person is a human being. And so you can't necessarily just walk into your boss's office and say what's on your mind at any minute. We offer someone who is in that situation 10 very specific techniques for handling disagreements, even with a good boss, so that you can achieve your goals. That's one of 7 strategies. Another one is, what if you work for a dictator? That's a totally different situation. When we do workshops, we often ask people to raise their hand if they've ever worked for a boss who's a dictator or a control freak. Everybody older than 25 raises their hand. So this is a problem for a lot of people. So we offer very specific strategies for dealing with a boss who is totally controlling, and we tell you how to achieve your goals even in that situation when you disagree with that boss. It's a very practical book.
We're talking today with Robert Ferguson. The book is called Making Conflict Work, Harnessing the Power of Disagreement. How long should a resolution take? Do some take longer, more attempts, more cultivating than others?
Well, that's a great question, Bruce. Sometimes a disagreement is a 2-minute discussion with a colleague, or if you're a leader, it's a short discussion with your subordinate. And then there are conflicts that are ongoing. You might have a different way of looking at the goals of the organization than one of your colleagues or your boss, and you're going to have many, many discussions over months or years. Now, when we say conflict, Bruce, we don't mean screaming at each other or arguing. We mean you see things differently, and you have to find a way to move forward. So some conflicts are short, and some conflicts are ongoing.
So the conflict itself, I mean, many times we think conflict is a negative thing, but in your sense, it's sometimes just, as you say, people seeing things differently. And are you done trying to have that person see it your way, get your way, get their way? How do you come out with people both feeling good about the resolution?
Well, it depends on the situation. Sometimes it doesn't matter if the other person sees it your way, because if you're a leader and you're dealing with someone who's insubordinate or who's working against the goals of the organization, they need to find a way to join the philosophy and the goals of the organization, or maybe you need to share them with the competition. But we also talk about how conflict is not only something to deal with, it's something to seek out. Because when you're talking about conflict, you're talking about honesty, you're talking about creativity, and you're talking about problem solving. I've had many leaders say to me, Rob, how can I get the people who report to me to be more honest and to share with me their best creative ideas, even if they disagree with me? And so we help leaders get the people around them to be more honest. And that's why we say you've got to make conflict work to the benefit of the organization.
You have a phrase called conflict intelligence. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Most people are familiar with the idea of emotional intelligence, which is understanding yourself and understanding others. Conflict intelligence is the ability to clarify your goals, identify the type of situation you're facing, the conflict situation, and then choose the strategy that is most likely to help you achieve your goals. So conflict intelligence is strategic, emotionally aware, and adaptive to the situation rather than just reacting to disagreement.
When you're dealing with people in the business world, conflicts, and even with a book like this, does it differ whether you're a woman or a man? Innately, we seem to have different ways of going about conflict and what we think is a conflict. Do you have thoughts about that?
Yeah, it could make a difference. I'm sure in many, many organizations it does make a difference, either because of outright sexism, which is still alive, or not so much sexism as just the different sensibilities that many men and women bring to a situation. Women are more likely to try to negotiate through a disagreement first, at least give that strategy a try, than men. In the end, I think gender differences don't have to matter as much as they sometimes do if men and women are very clear about their goals in the situation and select the right strategy for that particular conflict.
When you are in your professional life called in for conflict, are you like the last resort, or do people bring you in so they don't get to a point where it may be a point of no return?
Well, certainly the first. Sometimes I'm brought in when, we say that conflict can be like fire, and sometimes I'm brought in when the fire is burning and spreading, because conflict can spread from one team to another. So sometimes I'm brought in as sort of the conflict doctor to save the situation, and I know how to deal with very high-level, intense conflicts, de-escalate them, and help people clarify their goals. And then other leaders who I say have a more preventative medicine approach to it, or who understand both the value and the dangers of conflict, call me in sooner so that I can help them leverage conflict and make the most of it rather than let it spread and, you know, do damage to the organization.
Does a mediator help in even in a business? Is there sometimes a person who sees themselves more as the mediator, even if they're not part of the conflict? Does that occur too?
Oh, yes, definitely. Most organizations, as you know, are full of different personalities and people with different skills. So sometimes from within the organization, one manager or leader or employee acts as kind of a mediator. And then sometimes I'm called in, or other consultants like me. There's even a new profession called conflict coaching, where people are trained and expert in helping not only mediate, but strategically prevent future conflicts.
The book is called Making Conflict Work, Harnessing the Power of Disagreement. Our guest today has been Robert Ferguson. If people want to find out more about this book or maybe some more of the tips that are in there, where's a good place for them to start?
MakingConflictWork.com.
Thanks very much, Robert. Appreciate your time today.